When we come across one of these healing miracles, our reactions are likely to be mixed.
Wow,
we might say, or no way, or I'll take one of those. Because these miracles are so amazing, and because all of us either need a miracle or know someone who does, there's a temptation to try to reduce them into a predictable equation so we can figure out just how they work. And eventually we come to this thought: this is what faith is all about. This is what happens when we believe. If we cross our fingers and toes and close our eyes real tight and pray the magic words, a miracle will happen. The equation is simple. Faith plus Jesus equals miracle. We hear a story like the lucky leper, and we set the hurdles high, then take a flying leap of faith and jump over the hurdles we go. And then suddenly we're left flat on the track with dust in our teeth, wondering what went wrong when the miracle doesn't happen as we prayed that it would. Was it a lack of faith? Did we not pray hard enough? Maybe God doesn't love us as much as God loves those who receive the miracles. In other words, if we're not the lucky leper, then we're the ones standing on the sidelines, looking longingly at those whose faith outshines our own. Let's hold on a minute before we jump to that kind of conclusion and go back to the story and take a closer look. Although the particular story of the leper happens very early in Mark's gospel, it isn't the first of Jesus' miracles. By the time Jesus faces off with the leper, several other healings have already taken place. At the synagogue, a man with a so-called unclean spirit cries out to Jesus, and Jesus commands the spirit to leave the man, and it does. After worship, Jesus goes to Simon Peter's house, only to be greeted by the news that the disciple's mother-in-law is very sick with a fever. Jesus takes her by the hand, the fever vanishes, and she's up and serving supper before anyone can bat an eye. The next day, Jesus hits the road, leaving his footprints all over the region of Galilee, preaching good news and casting out demons left and right. By now, Mark has lost count of the number of people Jesus has healed. And then comes the story of the lucky leper, and we're still in chapter 1. And although each of these healing miracles is, how do you say it, miraculous, none of them are exactly the same. They're unpredictable. There's no set equation, no way of knowing who is going to be healed and who is not. Take the man with the unclean spirit. There's nothing to indicate that the man himself has any faith except he's in the synagogue. It's the unclean spirit who recognizes Jesus. And even the rest of the folks in worship that day aren't sure what to think of Jesus after he heals the man. Next, at Simon Peter's house, Jesus encounters a woman who, by her very gender, is a second-class citizen, banned from even setting foot in the synagogue. And she's healed. And if women were considered to be unworthy, they were still a step above those poor lepers, the very outcasts of society. Lepers weren't permitted to live in the town. They weren't permitted in the worship or the synagogue. They weren't allowed in anyone's home. And yet, Jesus reaches out and heals the leper. With each healing miracle, Jesus expands the horizon of those who are in the circle of God's grace. Because miracles aren't about our worthiness, they aren't an indicator of who has faith and who doesn't. Miracles are all about grace. Grace that says to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, and even those who don't, hey folks, guess what? The kingdom of God is coming into the world, even to the places and people we least expect. Every now and then we get a glimpse of the kingdom, and that's what we call a miracle. But miracles aren't the only time that God's power is let loose in the world. It's easy to recognize God's presence when we see it in an earth-shattering miracle like the healing of that leper. But when a miracle doesn't happen the way that we wish it would, that doesn't mean that God has left the building. Miracles are not meant to be indicators of who is worthy of God's grace and who is not, of who prayed hard enough and who didn't. Miracles are about the grace of God that is here within our reach, all of us, all the time. And miracles aren't the only way we experience God's grace, because if it were, that would mean that God's grace was limited to only a few people, leaving the rest of us shut out. And Christ shows us over and over again in the miracles and in the gospel stories and in our very own lives that God doesn't work that way. God doesn't pick and choose and shut people out. And in Christ, we believe God's grace is open to all. Several weeks ago, the world heaved a great sigh of relief when that jetliner made a safe landing in the Hudson River and everyone got off alive, a miracle. Such unbelievably good news just shakes us to our soul and we weep for joy. People of faith tend to respond to these things. And in the weeks that followed, I received email, the same email from friends in different parts of the country that showed this sketch in which the fallen airplane was being cradled in this pair of holy hands on the water there. And truly that is how we look at that at times. It's a miracle. God must have been there to help those people with what happened. But what are we to say when, like this past Thursday, another plane plunges into a home and 50 people are killed, everyone on board and more? Were God's hands folded across his celestial chest, refusing to help that pilot and that plane and all those people who died? To say that is just cruel, and it's not true. But I'd like to see a sketch of that second airplane also being cradled in God's loving hands, hands that are lifting every person out of that crash and into a place where there is no more sorrow and pain, where everyone finally is healed to perfection, where we will live forever in the peace and grace of Christ. I want to see a sketch of all the family and friends who lost someone in that tragedy, who are in grief and shock. I want to see them being held in God's holy hands as well, because that's what the gospel says to me. Not that miracles are reserved for a few worthy people, but that in Christ, God's healing hands hold us no matter what happens on this earth. That's the miracle to me. God reaches out to everyone. Miracles happen, there's no doubt about it, and there are wonders that defy all practical explanation. And it's an act of faith to recognize a miracle when we see one. But it is also an act of faith to believe in the wonder of an ordinary day. It is an act of deep faith to live with a medical condition that isn't cured. It is an act of faith to take a deep breath and keep trying, no matter what odds we face. Some days, it's an act of faith just to get out of bed in the morning. We are not called to make perfect sense out of everything that happens, but we are called to sense the perfect, to believe that there is room in Christ's holy hands for everyone. Pray with me. Lord, we all know someone who needs a mighty miracle. There are people who need healed and terrible illnesses in the world and tragedies and sorrow. And if we had our way, we would make things better for everybody that we could. But the world doesn't work that way. The miracles we see are reminders of the incredible grace and love that you have for us that extends beyond the boundaries that we set. Your love lifts us from the ashes and makes it possible for us to live again. Oh Lord, in the great and mighty miracles and in the everyday ones, may we see your hand at work in the world, bringing grace and love and healing and forgiveness and wholeness and life. For this is the way of Jesus Christ, who came to show us that nothing can separate us ever from your love. It is in Christ's name that we pray together. Let all God's people say, Amen.